This is The Allusionist, in which I, Helen Zaltzman, receive a free spritz of language from a department store, then walk around reeking of it all day. Today we're looking at the words that describe us long after we can speak for ourselves, with Dave Nadelberg, founder of Mortified, the podcast, stage show, Netflix show, etc.
Content note, death. But nothing gory or anything. Just mostly about the concept.
On with the show.
Yeah, Lily, a life well lived.
Gary, you reached for our hands and forever touched our hearts.
She lived her life with an open heart, Anne May.
A friend to animals.
Your heart is with ours. Thoughts of you bring us love, laughter, joy. We will cherish you forever.
This is sweet. We will miss your love, zest for life, and perfect smile.
That's great. You're going to hear the lovely crunch of grass. That's exciting. I do like the noise of the crunch of grass.
Thinking of who we're walking across.
This happens to be a cemetery where both of my parents are buried, and they are buried side by side, actually.
Oh.
Yeah.
You'd like to come here?
For me, this is one of the most important places on Earth. Yeah.
Cherished husband, father, brother, grandfather, great-grandfather, friend, award-winning writer, director, producer. He gave us the greatest gifts, wisdom, love, and laughter, and then, quotation marks, that beautiful sound, the most gorgeous music of all, the applause of an audience, but now the program's over and I still don't know what the subject was.
Ooh, that one's in cursive.
Yep.
Fonts?
You've got to be really careful with punctuation, because this one says, fantastic, in quotation marks, husband, father, grandfather, brother, uncle, writer, and mentor to many. The quotation marks make it seem like the fantastic is sarcastic.
Yeah, that's a weird choice.
Yeah.
Fantastic, husband.
Embraced equality, knowledge, world travel, and poker. That's pretty fun.
You would rather give than receive. Well, let's not read into that. There's Ronald. Ronald didn't get any epitaph.
No, maybe no one liked him.
Or maybe they just couldn't agree.
That's the thing, or maybe there's too much to say.
Beloved husband, father, grandfather, loving memories of you will live forever. That is an example. I don't mean to be mean, but that is an example of what I don't like about epitaphs. I think it's a hard thing to write epitaphs, and so like people don't know what to write, and so they just sort of say something. But then when you go to a cemetery like we are now, you will see as we walk around, they'll all kind of look or sound the same. And to me, that feels tragic and upsetting. And I feel like a jerk having any kind of judgment on this family that wrote loving memories and of you will live forever. I guess that's nicer than to know him is to love him. That's the one I hate. You see it all the time.
Now, here's something that makes me a bit sad, Dave, is that standing here seeing several different stones saying forever in our hearts, you feel the lack of imagination there.
Yeah, and that's what kind of pisses me off about epitaphs. It feels lazy, like this lazy send-off that a lot of people give, and they just kind of throw their hands up in the air, and anyway, so that always bums me out.
Maybe people can't come up with very personalized or witty epitaphs because they're grieving. So maybe this is really a thing that you should sort out before you die.
So that is interesting because I know of people who have sorted that out prior. That said, I don't know what it is amongst non-Jews, but for Jews, you have a year to do that. You have an unveiling a year. Unveiling is like, oh, now there's an actual stone on the grave. We buried them a year ago, but now there's a stone on top. You wait a year to do that. So you have a year to come up with the epitaph. So your grieving theoretically could be settled.
The problem with my grandmother, they had the year, but there were a lot of relatives to appease. So what they ended up with was something very bland because it was the only thing that all of the cousins would agree on.
You come up with something and everybody bats it around And eventually you get stuck with beloved wife, husband, and father.
Oh, this is a really good one, though. This one tells quite a lot about them. Psychotherapist and author. Adored parents, your lives inspire us. I feel like I get quite a lot more from that.
Let's walk around the perimeter here.
Beloved wife, mother, and grandmother.
Yeah.
Bit reductive. Oh, two next to each other. Yep. Beloved wife, grandmother, and great-grandmother. It's a bit of one-upping in this pair of graves.
Your love, kindness, and generous heart will touch our lives forever. So there's definitely a theme of you are permanent. You haven't died. Some part of you is still living on. That seems to be important to people. What do you think the point of an epitaph is for the family? Because I don't. I think it's actually for us, the strangers who walk by.
I think a bit of both, because I guess, you would know more than me, because I've never visited the grave of someone I'm related to for various reasons. But when you come here, does it make you feel better to see something that means something to you?
Well, so a lot of people have different opinions on the meaning and purpose of a cemetery. Neil, my producing partner, his parents are buried somewhere. And I think he was recently saying that he does not have much of a connection to a cemetery because, of course, this is not what he associates with his parents. His parents are not a slab of stone on top of some grass somewhere. Whereas I also don't have a connection to my parents being here. But for me, I see a cemetery as a real place of solace and a great place to go and get and be present and just cut out the world and just be you for a moment. And to me, that's the gift of a cemetery. I love cemeteries. I do not see them as depressing at all.
But when you come here to visit your parents and you look at their stones, how do you feel about them?
I feel a tremendous sense of gravity. I feel as quiet as the stones are. I don't think I've ever articulated that, but when I think about it here, I feel a real sense of calm, and I think the fact that it is just this quiet slab of stone that feels permanent, like rock is older than us, and I feel like there's something
quite some way.
Yeah, by quite some way. I don't love the concept of burial. I think burial has a lot of ethical problems, but it's really important, I think, when somebody is gone, to have a place that they can go, to grieve.
Which direction are your folks?
Right in front of that tree. Let's go visit Steve and Judy. This is my parents.
Beloved wife, mother, grandmother, friend, and teacher. She made the world a better place. No one could mind that being their epitaph.
Yeah, so that my dad came up with, she made the world a better place. I like that. And we did have family internal debates about that, because I think he wanted it to be about teacher, or she was great with children and all this. And I had a big heart-to-heart with my dad, and I said, I don't like that we're reducing this person to being first of all, I don't agree that she was this amazing person with children. I think she was a human being. I think she was really complicated with children. But I also don't think we should just reduce her to this thing. But of course, an epitaph is reducing you to a thing. So that's sort of a confusing note that I gave. But anyway, he came up with something that I found sweeter. And definitely is not something that you see anywhere else in the cemetery, which is why I liked it.
Yeah.
She made the world a better place.
But that is a really good eternal sentiment. That one won't age.
Yeah. And then 7 years later, my dad wound up parking right next to her, unfortunately.
Beloved husband, father, grandfather, and friend. Every relative, every friend, every stranger knew they mattered around you.
Yeah.
That's very nice. That.
I came up with that, and it was actually a friend of mine. She said, your dad, he always made me feel like I mattered. I said, that's it. So that was, so we went shopping for a phrase for a while. And I had, you know, 7 years between the two deaths to really think about it. And in those 7 years, I was sitting next to my mom's grave on what is now my, this spot that had been reserved for my father's grave. And I just wanted to kind of be there and connect. I had a lot of unresolved issues with her also. So, like, I feel like I wanted to be there to, like, I don't know, connect to whatever physical thing that I could. And also just kind of reflect on the relationship. And I started kind of looking around at the other stones, and I started getting curious about their lives, looking at the epitaphs, and I started noticing so many of the epitaphs. I think partially because we were trying to figure out what was my mom's epitaph going to be, and I wanted to know who was buried here. Who are these other people? Who are their neighbors? Who are their roommates, essentially, for eternity? And I felt really sad that I couldn't get a flavor of their personality. And that's all you're really looking for, I think, is with an epitaph, is just a flavor. So that made it really important to write. And that was it. Every relative, every friend, every stranger knew they mattered around you. We were going to write, whoa, big stuff, because that's what my dad said every time dessert would come. Like, he would be like, whoa, you're gonna order that. Like, that's like one example of one of those things that only makes people in your family laugh, but you can't understand that without context. And but the idea is like you want to shout to the world, this person mattered and this person existed. And so that's why I find it sad and a real missed opportunity when epitaphs are kind of, when they just say, like, to know him is to love him, or just some generic, like, he did it his way, like some sort of Sinatra thing. And I'm like, you know that that's what everyone writes, so it's just look around.
Well, to know him is to love him. You can't know him because he's dead, so that's a tease.
Yeah, it's kind of rude, really.
Yeah,
it's mocking him.
It's mocking all of the people that want to know about him.
Yeah. Actually, I know you're joking, but like that's exactly the reason that I got passionate about, like, you should write something at least distinct. These lives deserve better. And I know it's hard to come up with something, but we're all smart enough to figure out how to not die every day, so we can put a couple brain cells together for that. I don't know, is it rude to be like, that's not good enough? And I would argue, if it's super generic, like, I really believe that the point of these epitaphs is mostly like you're creating this billboard for this person's life, so that you want anyone who might even walk by to be like, yes, that was a person and that person mattered. And like, I get kind of indignant about it because I believe that all these people mattered. I guess you could listen to this and think by you being my accomplice, I guess, that we are being complete obnoxious assholes for judging people's epitaphs, and that would be your right to do. I think what I want is I want these vibrant people to be brought out just a little bit and kept alive just a little bit. It comes from that place. You can still think I'm a jerk or judgmental or whatever.
That's what I'm going to put on your gravestone. Judgmental jerk, Dave Nadelberg.
Well, interestingly, I've thought about, like, well, what would I write on my stone? And then I had a funny one, which is at the end of Mortified, there's a phrase of every episode of the podcast or the TV show or the stage show, which is, we are freaks, we are fragile, and we all survived. And then it would say, except for him.
Do you think, though, that one reason why people skew to the bland is because these things have to work long term? And some things don't really age because they were never super relevant, but it means they never become irrelevant.
I think that's an interesting thought. I honestly think the reason is it's too much pressure.
I'm thinking about what I would have on mine now, and it is too much pressure. It's, I can't think of anything.
It's too much pressure. But I do think it's worth, like, we should have parties, and like, they don't even have to be like one day events, but three or four installment kind of like workshop party kind of thing, that like you go and you kind of work on, like, here are some ideas for what my tombstone should be, just so you have that and build that into your will. And it's also a fun, you know, excuse to get drunk with your friends.
I suppose when you start thinking, how would I want to be remembered? What are the parts of my life are meaningful? Those are hard things to think about.
And how do you distill a human life into 5 words?
Yeah. Because also you don't want too text-heavy a grave, because then it becomes counterproductive after a paragraph. That is minimal. Just name and date.
Yeah, just a year, not even like the month.
There's not a lot of lowercase fonts on these.
That's interesting. Yeah, it's almost all caps.
They are harder to read.
And yet we don't read them like they're all caps. Beloved husband, father, we loved him forever. You are still in our hearts.
Unusual, isn't it? Like upper and lower case.
This is the font that they made fun of on Saturday Night Live. What's this font? Is papyrus.
It? Yeah.
You got buried in papyrus.
Ouch.
I'm not going to read this one because I don't want to insult this person, but...
They've already been insulted by the font. Oh, we're getting some good ones now.
Yeah, this is the better area.
Boomp diddy ada boomp boomp.
Boomp diddy ada boomp boomp. Wait, this is... Hold on a second. This is a double tombstone. So it's Selma lived, loved, laughed. Nathan, that literally says boomp diddy ada boomp boomp. That's the best one. Boomp diddy ada boomp boomp.
Remembered for great generosity, a warm heart, intelligence and humour, her enormous strength and independence taught us all. She was a woman before her time.
This word I like. Adored, loved, adored and sadly missed.
Okay, this is interesting. Adoring father, beloved husband, dedicated physician, ardent scholar, ever enriching the lives of his family, his colleagues and the world around him.
And it's written on a big... icon of a book. So like he really was, they want to really push that. Like I like that I get a sense of who that person is and what was important to that person.
Yeah, there's a lot of adjectives here compared to a lot of them where it just says beloved, which is about your feelings about them rather than who they were. Oh, so it's fun. Poet, artist, art historian, innovative, proud, heroic mom, elegant and extraordinary. El Condor Pasa.
Oh yeah, that's great. I love this. Stuart, advocate for the downtrodden. And there's an icon, or an emoji, of legal scales. So clearly he was not just an advocate, but like a judge or a lawyer.
Or loved weighing things.
He loved weighing things.
Wow, I like this. Sweet and strong with a golden wit. This one's after my heart too. Gentle and kind soul with the heart of a lion.
That's cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
Lion. He looks like a sweet accountant. And so now we have this trend on gravestones where you are seeing photographs and other things, which are in some ways another version of an epitaph. They're like summarizing, they're giving you information about the person.
You probably get graves now that have a QR code on them, so you can get like a fuller amount of information about someone.
Fascinating. I bet that exists.
Or like one of those USB photo frames where you could have pictures from...
Changing.
Because is there a particular time in your life where you think that's the photo I'd want on my permanent marker?
This one's long. This one's very long-winded, which I like. They're like, we've got all this space, let's use it.
Yeah.
Extraordinary musician and human being, full of compassion and generosity. Your humor, spirit, passion for life, and love... for your family will always live in our hearts together forever, siempre juntos.
That is a lot, but it's not like the stone is significantly bigger. They've just...
They've just crammed it all in.
Yeah.
And still found room for beloved husband, father, grandfather, and friend.
And also, there's a picture of him...
In a bow tie.
I can't quite date it, but he looks like a matinee idol of the golden age of cinema in the photo.
And there's even Spanish, siempre juntos,
yep.
And Hebrew.
So in just... a foot and a half by 2 feet. You've got 3 languages. You've got plenty of information about him privately and professionally and spiritually, and a photo. I've loved you dearly, more dearly than the spoken word can tell.
Fantastic.
She loved her family like she loved her poker. All in, and 5 engraved playing cards.
All in is in quotes. That's great.
That is a fun epitaph.
Jan, small in stature, big of heart, a giant in the food world, zany in humor, committed to community, our loss is unfathomable, loving wife, daughter, sister, friend, and mentor.
Wow.
I love mentor.
Yes, that was a real surprise at the end.
Well, great. Well done, Jan's friends and family.
You've given us information about her physique, her personality, her profession, her humor, and her interaction with the world, and your feelings about it. It's amazing.
I love that it clearly, it mattered to them that she was zany in humor.
Do you have any suggestions for people to figure out what to put on the stones?
Identify why you want an epitaph, what the point is for you. If you agree with me that the main purpose of an epitaph is to sort of honor this person's life for the general public to see, then try your best to come up with something that's doesn't have to be clever, but just has to be unique and that gives me the flavor of this person. And so you could interview those who knew this person and say, what do you think of when you think of this person? They'll just instinctively say certain things. And when you ask 5 to 10 people, you'll start to notice a pattern. And, you know, you might notice 3 patterns, but then you can pick one. If you screw it up, there's no consequence, you know.
Well, it's only written in stone forever, so
that's
arguably
true. I guess there is a consequence. But, I mean, it's not like the deceased is going to be mad at you.
David Nadelberg is the founder of Mortified. Find the Mortified podcast, books, live event listings, TV shows, and documentary at getmortified.com. And in today's Mini-Illusionist, we return to the cemetery to find the grave of David Nadelberg.
All right, so we are looking at the map.
Yep.
We're looking at a map of a cemetery, and we're in my car, and we are looking for a certain grave that I have since discovered through a Google search. And the grave that we are looking for is a person named David Nadelberg.
We're looking for your grave.
We're looking for me, my grave. I actually, for years, thought I was the only David Nadelberg in existence.
Oh, is it a rare combination?
Nadelberg's not a common name. And I've Googled my name a bunch, and I've never come across any David Nadelberg until very recently.
We've come across the late David Nadelberg.
And not only that, it's the cemetery where my parents happen to be buried.
Ah, so a place you've been coming to a lot.
Yeah.
And you were here this whole time.
I was here this entire time, dead, and we're going to go find me. We're going to go find dead me. What if I turn out to be the dead me? And we meet dead me, and it's like...
Like a body swap.
Yeah, it'd be a really adorable body switch movie.
We're making light of it. What if you see a grave with your name on, and you feel upset and disturbed?
I am actually a little stressed out about... I feel a little uncomfortable about this. Yeah. I mean, I'm super excited, but mostly I'm also curious, like, what is his epitaph? And what, like, if I don't like it? I only know very little things about David Nadelberg, the dead one. Mm-hmm. So
I've never had the experience of encountering a grave with my name on, or indeed anyone else with my name like you. I currently think I'm the only one.
What if we look to the left of the David Nadelberg grave and we find a Helen Zaltzman grave?
Oh my goodness.
I think that's me with the American flag.
Oh, you're here. You're right here. This is a two-person plaque. Grass has recently been cut.
That's weird.
Who's your wife? I'm just going to clear some grass off.
Oh my God.
No.
No. That, first of all, that's my grandmother's name, the middle name, your name.
Sylvia Helen Nadelberg and David Nadelberg.
What did I just say a second ago? That we will find you right next to me and you're literally buried with me.
What a way to go into eternity. Loving husband, father, and grandfather. How do you feel looking at the grave with your name on and dates? You weren't born in 1910, so...
How do I feel? I'm feeling... It's weird. I am seeing this name. It's a word, it's the letters that I've seen all my life. I've gotten married, apparently, in life. I've had kids, and they've had kids.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot in common with this David Nadelberg, is I guess my point.
There's so little information there. He could like all of your favorite bands pre-1990.
But in terms of...
life marks.
Yeah, I've not been married, no children, no plans for children ever, and therefore they will never have children, so I will not become a grandfather. There's some nice artwork on this, so there's some like flowers I like.
There's a lovely border. It's quite a nice shade as well. It's got sort of pinkish tinge, greenish tinge.
The lettering is a little off. Do you notice that the A and the V are a little not... aligned crop. It's like they're sort of crooked, like
The A's have come out a bit taller than the adjacent letters,
a little bit like a ransom note. So here we are, we're standing at my grave. Am I glad that I'm here seeing it? Yeah, I'm having very little reaction to this. I honestly thought it would be a little more momentous. I don't know what I thought, but when I first saw the letters a second ago, it did give me chills to be like, whoa. But if I was named like John Smith, I think I would have no reaction. But if you've
only seen this combination of words as referring to you ever.
Yeah, these letters in this combination.
I hope he had a good time with the name while he was alive with it.
Yeah, I wonder if people called him like Noodles or Noodleberg or...
Dableberg.
Dableberg or Sinead O'Connor or something. They probably did not call him that.
Your randomly selected word from the dictionary today is... gyrus. Noun. A ridge or fold on the cerebral surface in the brain. Try using it in an email today. This episode was produced by me, Helen Zaltzman, with music by Martin Austwick of palebirdmusic.com. If you've dealt with the decision of what to write as an epitaph, let us know. Find Illusionist Show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Any advice would be useful for writing one for someone else. Or have you decided what you want your own epitaph to be? I've been thinking I don't want any kind of gravestone at all. After my grandmother's got a typo on it, I cannot take that risk. You can hear or read every episode of The Illusionist. You can see the full dictionary entries for the randomly selected words, check out Illusionist merch, find event listings, all at theillusionist.org.